Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 30, verse 28. It's the most significant verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, especially. Because in this verse, the gopis are speaking. Lalita Sakhi is actually speaking this verse. Our Gaudiya Acharyas reveal that, although it's not mentioned in the verse. And then when the gopis are separated from Krishna, he's left them all, but he's taken Radharani with him. And the gopis are searching for him, and they haven't found any clue or indication where Krishna is. And now they see footprints. And for many verses, they're tracking Krishna's footprints through the land of Vrindavan, near the Rasastali in Vrindavan, on the banks of the Yamuna. And then alongside Krishna's footprints, they see a gopi's footprints. And Lalita Sakhi and Radharani's party, the Paksha Sakhis, the favorable Sakhis of Radharani, they immediately recognize, oh, this is Radharani. Anaya Radita Nunam Bhagavan Hare Ishvaraha Yanno Vihaya Govinda Prito Yam Anayad Raha. Govinda is taking Priti. Govinda Shyam Sundar Bhagavan Sri Krishna is taking Priti, Priyaji Radha, to a Rahasya Kunj. And he's enjoying with her alone. And the first part of the verse, Anaya Radito Nunam. Certainly, this Aradita means Radha. Radha means the greatest worshiper, the greatest servant, the greatest devotee of Krishna. So they're recognizing Radharani here. And Jiva Goswami, we heard his commentaries and we heard most of Vishnu Chakravartipad. He was quoting various shastras, ancient shastras, beginning with the Shrutis. The Shrutis are the oldest and most authorized Vedic praman, or reference, or truth, or authority in spiritual matters. The Shrutis are the oldest, Atharva Veda, Rig Veda, Sama Veda, and Yajur Veda. So in the Atharva Veda, with millions of years old, the ancient sages are actually mentioning the existence and the significance of two gopis, one named Radharani and one named Chandravali. And Vishwanath quotes Gotamiya Tantra. Now he quotes Krishna Upanishad. And then he gives another meaning of this verse. Anaya Radito Nunam Bhagavan Harir Ishvaraha Yano Vihaya Govinda Prito Yam Anayad Raha. Translation. The gopis are speaking. Oh, gopis, we understand that this particular gopi whom we're seeing the footprints of has served Krishna with greater affectionate love than ourselves. Because of this, although Krishna has left us, he could not leave her company, so he is taking her along with him. So she's special. That's the translation. Vishnu Chakravarti says, the verse can have another meaning. Oh, unfortunate gopis. He's taking the word anaya, which means by her. He also means unfortunate. Oh, unfortunate gopis, uselessly you are thinking yourselves equal to that fortunate woman. And we have seen, and so therefore you feel yourself mistreated. The fact is that Hari is enjoying with Radharani in a secret place. Then he explains the meaning of the word Govinda. In the last third line, it says Govinda, Prito, Raha. That Govinda is fully satisfied and pleasing all the senses, go, of that gopi. We discussed that yesterday. Krishna's heart is full of Priti, which is in the verse, Prito Yam Anayad Raha. And because of that love that Krishna has for Radharani, he has taken her away and left all of us alone. And that's the end of Vishnu's commentary. I have some small few words I can share also I wrote. This verse is glorifies Radharani. So for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, all the acharyas and teachers in Gaudiya Sampradaya, they always quote this verse. And here Radharani's glories come shining forth. Sometimes the question is asked, Shukadev Goswami was such a great devotee of Radharani. We see in the Brahma Vaivart Puran There's a story of the prior birth of Shukadev. And a prior birth, he was a parrot. Shuka in Sanskrit means a tota, a parrot. And a prior life, he was a parrot. And different stories. And he was Radharani. There's two stories. But one is that he was Radharani's parrot. And when Radharani was leaving this world with Krishna, going into uppercut or invisible Leela, then the parrot said, "Oh, I want to stay. I want to stay on and describe your glories and the glories of Krishna and the upcoming yuga." So then Radharani said, "All right." So that parrot stayed there. And then that same parrot was sitting in a tree in Mount Kailash. And Shiva, Lord Shiva, was narrating the Bhagavatam to his wife. You know the story. And Parvati. And Shiva said, "Listen, I'll keep reading the Bhagavatam to you because you said you're eager to hear it. But every so often you have to say yes, yes, yes. So I know that you're listening and not sleeping. As many people sleep during class, as you know. Maybe you're one of them sometimes." So just to keep Shiva knowing that his wife is attentive and awake. So she's saying yes, yes, yes. And as happens often with any good devotee, after some time, Parvati fell asleep. And there's a bird in the tree, a parrot. And the parrot he knew a little how to speak English, at least as much. So he was taking the voice of Parvati and saying, "Yes, yes, yes." As Shiva was reciting the Bhagavatam, the bird is saying, "Yes, yes, yes." And Shiva said, "Oh, this yes, yes, yes." And then he looked and he saw his wife sleeping. He said, "Who is saying yes, yes, yes?" And he looked and saw the parrot. And he got very angry. Shiva got very angry. He took his trishun, his spear, iron spear. And he said, "I'll kill you." And he's chasing. That parrot flew away, flying so far. And then he flew into the Himalayas, into the cave where, into the place where Vyasadeva was living with his wife. And at the time, his wife yawned. Oh, and then when she yawned, then the parrot flew inside her mouth to hide. So then she got pregnant, so she gave birth. When she gave birth, her son's name was Sukadeva Goswami. And Sukadeva Goswami spoke the Bhagavatam. That's one story. Another story is, since Sukadeva Goswami was a parrot of Radharani and such a great devotee of Radharani, why is it in the when he's Shukadev, Shukamuni, and speaking Bhagavatam, how many verses? 17, how many verses in Bhagavatam? 18,000, yeah. A little less, 17,000 something. Say roughly 18,000 and 12 cantos. So he's speaking 18,000 verses and he only speaks one verse where he mentions Radharani's name. And he was a pet parrot of Radharani. Radharani you see in Govinda Lilamrita and Krishna Bhavanamrita. She has different pets. She has many pets. She has a baby calf, a small vatsa. Vatsa means a small cow, little girl cow. And she's a little chubby. And her name is Tungi, T-U-N-G-I, Tungi. And she has a pet bull also. I guess that's why this Sudevi takes care of so many bulls. So Radharani has a pet bull, and the bull's name is Padmaganda, which means it smells like a lotus flower. But actually, that's kind of a joke, I guess. Because bulls don't exactly smell like lotus flowers, and nor do men. But heavenly damsels smell like that, and maybe heavenly cows also, but not bulls. And so she has a pet. She has several pet parrots. One is named Manjubhashini. Manjubhashini, and that's one. Manjubhashini. Bhashini means speech or language, and Manju means very charming. So she has very charming, delightful speech. Manjubhashini, and Daksha. That's a male. She has many pets. She has a pet peacock named Tundikari, deer named Rangini, and a pet peacock, a pet white swan, and a pet peacock, peahen, female. You can see in Rupa Goswami's book, Radhakrishna Ganadesh Deepika. It's on the folio. So in this verse, we find that the often combination we see in Bhagavat. And many of our Rasa Shastras, Radharasira Nidhi and Govinda Lilamrita, which are primarily all about Madhurya Ras, the amorous love of Radha and Krishna, and Sringhar Rati. But oftentimes, the verses itself, although it's a beautiful, sweet, and intimate glories of Radharani and Krishna, oftentimes one half of the verse is all about sweetness and intimacy and amorous exchanges between Radharani and her beloved Krishna, divine consort. And then the other half of the verse is about the spiritual truth and grandeur and majesty and greatness of God. So it's quite a juxtaposition. So that juxtaposition is what the Acharyas say. It's a combination of Aishvarya and Madhurya. Truth, let's say, tattva and ras. Ras and bhav and prem and lila. It nourishes the heart and satisfies and soothes the heart. And then the tattva, the truth, and the light of knowledge and wisdom and the why for and how and why and where and when of Krishna's lilas, the facts, the truth, it satisfies our intellect and removes our doubt and strengthens our faith, our shraddha, so that our shraddha becomes sudridha, vishwas, very firm and unshakable faith. So this verse itself, again, reflects that dual combination of Madhurya Vichar and Aishvarya Vichar. Vichar means the consideration or the understanding of this verse and lila based on the truth and tattva and the position of Krishna as God and his servants as his part and parcels, as his shakti, as his energy. And then the other aspect of Krishna, the sweet, intimate Nara lila, human-like dealings and pastimes, which seem so much like our own lives, and so much close and near and friendly to us, which makes it relatable, easily relatable and relevant and approachable by all of us earthlings, people of the earth. That's awesome. So this Anaya Radito represents Ladini Shakti. So we have three names of Bhagavan, Hari, Ishvara, and Govinda. Even says Bhagavan, Hari, Ishvara. So that means Bhagavan. In India, when they speak on classes in Bhagavatam, even 10th canto, which I mentioned before, they always say Bhagavan, Bhagavan, Bhagavan. You can go on YouTube. And they're very rustic and great speakers, but they never, hardly ever speak the word Krishna. They seem to say, and Bhagavatam, Bhagavan this, and Bhagavan that, and Bhagavan this, and Bhagavan that. As if it's Sunil and Sunil Agarwal. Sunil did this, and Bill did this, and Joseph did that, and Mary did this, and Bhagavan did this. I know it's some type of style, and they all do it, young or old, Bhagavat Pracharaks. But somehow, since we Westerners, we joined what is popularly known as the Hare Krishna movement, we became pretty much indoctrinated with the idea that Bhagavan is the supreme personality of Godhead, S-P-O-G. This God, and God has a name, Prabhupada always emphasized. You ask the priest, and what is the name of God? Oh, God has no name. What does he look like? He looks like a lollipop with no nose. Lollipop has no nose and no eyes and no mouth. It just tastes good. You lick it. So, God has no features. He's nirupam, nirgunam. So what's the difference between Advaitavad? Advaitavad, it says that God is amorphous. God is amorphous. God is light. God is consciousness. God is everywhere. God is all-pervasive. There's no such thing as a personality of Godhead. So a Christian conception of God is the same as Chinmayananda's conception or Vivekananda, all the Anandas. There's an infinite number of Anandas, but they only have one truth, that God is bliss, consciousness, Brahman. Brahman is ultimate bliss. Rupa Goswami says that the bliss of Brahman is equal to a bindu, and the bliss of chanting Hare Krishna and dancing in the streets is like a sindhu. Bindu means a drop of bliss. Brahman is a drop of bliss, and bhakti is an ocean of joy. This is in a Sanskrit verse in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. You can find. So this combination is there. So this is kind of a summary of some of the points of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Because the names are, these are names, and all these names have meaning, and that's one point we should start, takeoff point we should utilize when we're chanting japa to catch the mind. The mind is on, as soon as you pick up your beads, and start chanting, your mind starts running. Your mind is right there, just sitting between your ears, resting. But as soon as you pick up your japa beads, the mind, oh, let's get out of here. the mind is very peaceful, not bothering you, not going anywhere, not thinking anything, not just like just humming along like a generator or something. So then these names are significant. When we chant Hare Krishna, we're supposed to meditate on the meaning of the name. And as we know, we have some basic familiarity with the meaning of Krishna's primary names, which we frequent every day, all throughout the day. These three names are Krishna and Hari and Ram. Ram goes to Ramya. Ram goes to so many beautiful meanings, which we all see in Shastra so much by now. And each one of those meanings that we've collected, connected to that individual name, can be churned while chanting the holy name and taking them in many directions. You can chant Hare Krishna thinking the whole mantra refers to Radharani. You can chant Hare Krishna thinking the whole mantra refers to Krishna. You can chant Hare Krishna mantra thinking the whole mantra refers to Radha and Krishna. Jiva Goswami Pad and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Dhyan Chandra Goswami from Puri, from the Gopal Guru Parivar. They take the meaning of the holy name to be Yugal. Yugal art. Nam Yugal art. The meaning of the holy name is Yugal, Radha Govinda Yugal, a pair, Radha and Krishna. But Raghunath Das Goswami and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, they take the whole Maha Mantra to be from the angle of Radharani. Radharani is chanting the Maha Mantra. That's their subjective view. We don't find this indicated that Radharani is chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in any of our Goswami's formal writings or any other writings or other shastras. Some people ask this question. Are the gopis chanting Hare Krishna in the spiritual world? They're definitely chanting Nam Sankirtan. Govinda Damo Dara Madhaveti. Govinda Damo Dara Madhaveti. This is the last verse in chapter 39 of the 10th canto. It's called the Viraha Gita. And Viraha means separation. Akura is taking Krishna Balaram out of Vrindavan, leaving Nandagram in the chariot, whisking Krishna away to Mathura, never to return again, according to the Bhagavatam. Gopis are exasperated, totally stunned and astonished and devastated, heartbroken, and about to die. So in the last moment before Krishna, the wheels start moving, they blurt out and they reveal to the whole community of Braj their secret love affair for Krishna. They can't hold it. They can't repress their love anymore. This is the last chance. It's the last gap attempt to try to prevent Krishna from going. So then they chant this Nam Sankirtan. Govinda Damo Dara Madhaveti. So this phrase, Govinda Damo Dara Madhaveti, is in the Bhagavatam, which is Nitya, eternal. And about 900 years ago, Bilva Mangala Thakur, he's a great Vaishnava. As you know, the story of Bilva Mangala, he became blind by his own volition. And he had darshan many times with Krishna in Vrindavan and Radharani. And he wrote this Govinda Damodar Stotram. Very popular, Govinda Damodar Stotram. And the refrain, or you can say chorus, or refrain, for each one of those paras or these stanzas is Govinda Damo Dharamadaviti. There's very beautiful ones. Many of them are about Draupadi and different devotees, Yashoda, Draupadi, Devaki, and different devotees of Krishna. And the various circumstances, they end up crying out in anxiety and separation and desperation. Govinda Damo. So he cites a verse capsulizing the pastime of Mahabharata and the Leela of Mahabharata, Pandavas and Kauravas, and Mother Draupadi, Draupadi Mata. She was getting stripped in the assembly by Dushasan, who was representing Duryodhan and the anti-party. And she was trying to hold on. She's a Kshatriyani. She's a queen in a Kshatriya family. The Panchapandavas are her husbands. And they were powerless because they lost everything in the gambling match. And all they had left was their wife, mutual wife of the five Pandavas. So they gambled her away and they lost her through Duryodhan's party. So he said, since you are mine, the husband has all rights to see the wife and naked. So now we want to see in a public place because he's a demoniac mentality. You know the story. So then pulling all the clothes and she's holding. Then she gives up and chants, Govinda Damo Dharamadaviti. Then Krishna comes and supplies Ananta Poshak, Ananta Varsh Vasan, unlimited cloth to save her. So that shloka is there. And there's another shloka there in the Govinda Damodar Stotram. One Sakhi trains her pet parrot to sing the glories of Krishna in an indirect way, Parokshavad. And then after that parrot sings to please her one day, she holds the parrot in her hand and she feeds the parrot pomegranate seeds. She holds the parrot in her left hand and she feeds the parrot pomegranate seeds with her right hand and she tells the parrot to sing, Govinda Damo Dharamadaviti. Because I picked out, there's quite a few verses. There's two parts. There's part one and part two. Oh, I don't know, 100 verses or so, I forget. We picked out all the verses about gopis and we made a separate little file and we had a little songbook with my students and we used to sing these about the gopis. Because when you're in the Ragmarg and in this gopi bhav, following the gopis and everything that's anukulya to develop your rag and bhav for gopis and Radharani must be studied and read and sung and remembered. This is the primary teaching in the Raghunuga Bhakti. And Rupa Goswami mentions that in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in part 1, chapter 2, in verses 270 to 301. And in there he describes that the sadhaka will choose those particular limbs of bhakti sadhana which nourish his greed, his divine greed for loving and serving Radharani as her handmaiden, like Rupa Manjari and Rati Manjari, Tulsi Manjari, Rati Manjari, and the other Manjaris and Sakhis of Radharani. So this happens automatically, even if one doesn't read Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. No one has to teach you that if you love your girlfriend, you should call her on the phone. If you fall in love, these are the 10 things you should do. 1, try to meet your girlfriend when you can. 2, call her whenever you can on the telephone. 3, send her, buy her little gifts now and again. 4, don't forget her birthday. 5, and these kind of things. So we don't need any lessons in love. We don't, the dogs don't go to school to learn how to love the female. And so the humans, we don't need. So the same thing with rag. Rag means love. When love awakens for Krishna in whatever form, because Krishna is unlimited and we can love Krishna in unlimited ways and for unlimited amounts of time in unlimited forms. And Chandogya Upanishad, Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami Pad quotes Chandogya Upanishad and he says that the Jivatma, that's us, we're Jivas, Jivatma can expand into 1,020 different forms. So we can love Krishna in at least 1,020 different forms. And it's Nitya Parishads, like Vasudeva and Devaki and Daruka and Uddhava and all the other eternal associates of Krishna, they can expand themselves into unlimited forms. And even the jiva, if it's the will of the Krishna, the jiva can also expand into unlimited forms to serve him. When you read the Krishna book in chapter 69 of the 10th canto, you can read how Narada Muni goes to Dwarka. And Narada Muni is very curious to see what Krishna is doing. Is it like going into a big mall shop? You go into a mall shop and they have 100 televisions for sale. And they all have the football game on. So there's 100 televisions with different quality color. And there's a 500 rupee one and a 10,000 rupee one like this. And they have different intensities and quality of color depending on the price. But all those 500 televisions that are for sale in the showroom of the TV shop in the mall, shopping mall, they have the same channel. So everyone's doing the same thing. So Narada Muni is wondering whether Krishna was like TV, his expansions and his 16,000 forms were like TVs in a camera in a TV shop. Are they all doing the same thing at the same time in the 16,000 palaces? So in order to find that out, Narada Muni himself, who is a jiva or a shakti amsh, and shakti avesh avatar of Krishna, bhakti shakti, Narada Muni expanded himself into 16,108 forms. That's one explanation. Or he went faster than the speed of light. He went faster than the speed of light. And he entered all the palaces simultaneously in 2 seconds and saw what everyone was doing. So he went into 108 palaces. And what did he see? Krishna, at 6 a.m. in the morning, in each palace, Krishna was doing something different. In one palace, he was doing a noonday activity. One palace, he was sleeping and enjoying his queen. That's evening activity. One palace, he was practicing horse riding. That's afternoon activity. One palace, he was practicing sword fighting, dueling. Ta-ta, ta-ta, ta. Ta ta ta. You know, you go like this. Ta-ta-ta-ta. You ever did dueling? I did. You wear a mask and ta-ta-ta-ta. You did? All right. So then that's a mid-morning, 10 o'clock in the morning. And then he went to another palace and Krishna was worshipping the Brahmins and giving them cloth and gold and cows and charity. And so that's sunrise, Pratakal, 6 to 8 a.m. So all these things were going on. But the amazing point and the significant point relating to what I'm saying is in every palace he saw one Vasudeva and one Devaki and one Daruka, who was a chauffeur, Krishna's chauffeur, chariot driver. And so that means there were 16,000 Vasudevas and 16,000 Uddhavas. Every palace was an Uddhava and a Daruka, which means that there's unlimited expansions of Krishna's eternal parishads. As Chandogya Upanishad says, the jivatmas like you and I can at least expand into 1,020 forms. So therefore I say that we can serve Krishna in unlimited forms and unlimited ways. There's no shortage and no end. So just like the holy name and the meanings of the holy name, there's no end to what meanings you can take. And the same thing when you practice Raghunuga Bhakti and you become attached to Krishna with an internal, individual, loving mood. Internal, individual, loving mood. That's yours. You don't buy it in the market. You don't imitate someone else's loving mood. It arises in you by the virtue of your own watering. You water the ground and a seed comes out and the seed gets nourished. The seed is given by Krishna Guru. It's called Bhakti Lata Bija. And the seed will grow and expand and make a sprout and then a leaf and then pierce through the hard ground of surrender and start growing in the skies of faith. And as it grows in the skies of faith and nourished by the sunshine of Krishna's kripa and hearing and chanting, then eventually some rag awakens. Oh, I want to love Krishna like this. And I want to hear about him like this and see him like this. So this is dictated in a very individual way. So this is the holy names of Krishna. We can go in many directions with the holy name just using the meanings, because this is the starting point. Name and meaning. Name and meaning, name and meaning, name and meaning. Then name and form. So when you chant Krishna's name, then so many forms will appear in your mind. So many forms, forms of deities, favorite deities, forms of your own deity, forms that you've seen in leelas or pastimes, forms that you've seen in the paintings and other places, or form of Krishna Radharani that spontaneously arise in your mind when you chant. So the same thing with the name, the chanting holy names. So many sweet things. So nam and meaning, then nam and form. And qualities, qualities will take some time to manifest. Because until we manifest Krishna's qualities within ourselves by our own spiritual development and the kripa we receive, Krishna will not reveal his qualities to us. Because they reflect upon each other. Like we say, birds of a feather flock together. So as we start to manifest some of the qualities of Krishna, then the qualities of Krishna in his name start to manifest when we chant his name. This you'll see. So this is, Hari means one who takes away distress and misery of the devotee. This is a summary of what Vishnu is saying. And Bhagavan. Bhagavan means the beloved master. This is Aishwarya Vichar. Refers to Lord Narayan, Lord Vishnu. But then you take Bhagavan, the word Bhagavan, Bhagavan. Bhagavan, if you take it in terms of grandeur, majesty, God, the creator, the all-powerful maintainer and protector of everyone. If you take it from that grand aspect of Aishwarya, then Bhagavan means those things. But Bhagavan also, because Bhagavan means van. Van means vat. V-A-T, vat, or van. One who possesses, one who controls, or one who has something. So Bhagavan, or Bhagavat. The Bhagavat, Bhagavan. So Bhaga means he has bhagya. He has auspicious good things. And Bhaga means wealth. Aishwaryasya, samagrasya, viryasya, yasashashriya. He has all, you know these things. The six qualities of Bhagavan. He has all power, all wealth, all fame, all knowledge, all renunciation, all beauty. So he, in other words, he's got it all. So this is Bhagavan, but Bhagavan also, like these Sanskrit words, it also has a sweet meaning. Because Bhaga means the beautiful one. The word Bhagavan, in one dictionary I saw, Bhagavan means the beautiful one who is agitated by amorous desire. So that's Bhagavan Sri Krishna. And how the word Bhagavan means beautiful one? And then the Jiva Goswami says in one place, because God or Krishna or Vishnu has six opulences, transcendental assets, and one of them is beauty, Sundarya. So Bhagavan means the beautiful one. Bhagavan, the beautiful one, Shamsundar. Satyam Sundaram, what is it? Satyam Sundaram Shivaram. There's a famous phrase they say in India when they're describing Bhagavan. They say Bhagavan is Satyam, Satyam Shivaram Sundaram. Satyam means he's the source and the embodiment of all truth, the absolute truth. Satyam, and then he's Shivaram. Shivadam means one who gives Shiva. Shiva means auspiciousness, good fortune. Dam means to give. So Shivadam means one who creates or gives good fortune to all. If anyone gets connected or gets close to Krishna or to this Bhagavan, then he becomes very fortunate. And his life becomes very auspicious. Rupa Goswami explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu the six symptoms or characteristics of bhakti. Two characteristics at the level of sadhana, two characteristics manifest at the level of bhava, and two characteristics manifest at the level of prema. The two characteristics of bhakti, which is something like Bhagavan, that manifest at the level of sadhana, do you know what they are? Shubhada kleshagni. Shubhada. Shubhada means bhakti brings all fortune or bhagya. So Bhagavan, it's like this. So satyam shivadam. So shivadam means bhakti. Krishna gives all auspiciousness and good things because when we practice bhakti, our life becomes auspicious and fortunate and good. And then kleshagni means, you heard of klesh? Adiatmika klesh, adibhautika klesh, adidaivika klesh. Go like this. Yeah, yeah. Miseries of the body and mind. Yeah, now we're getting close. Yeah, I know about that. Miseries caused by other people's bodies and minds, like flies. Know about that. And misery is caused by nature. It's too hot, it's too cold, it's too wet, it's too dry, it's too windy, it's not windy. Earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, a lot of goodies are waiting out there for us to suffer from. So this is klesha. And agni means to destroy. So this is the practice of bhakti bhajan. Bhakti bhajan destroys all the bad things and fills us with good things. Like once Prabhupada was saying, there was one of his godbrothers was preaching to an English lord. Lord. Lord is a title. That doesn't mean he's God or Bhagavan. So this was some lord over there. And Prabhupada's godbrother was preaching to him. He said, you should follow the four regulative principles. The four religious principles which we follow to show our mercy, cleanliness, truthfulness, and austerity, and to strengthen those within us. We follow particular principles of restraint and self-control, which you know well. And this Lord Jetlin, that was his name. Lord Jetlin, J-E-T-L-A-N. That was a province of England called Jetland. And sounds kind of modern, but... So he was saying, you know, you should follow these... He said, impossible! Prabhupada, he repeats this on a tape so many times. You can hear, I've heard Prabhupada's tapes a few times. And then Lord Zetlin said he was told, you should follow these four regular principles. Well, what are they, Swamiji? Oh, no drinking, no smoking, no gambling. Huh? Oh, this is impossible. Impossible, impossible to do this. And so this is impossible for him. So Krishna, he's Satyam, Shivaram, Sundaram. He's beautiful and he's truthful. And when one comes near Krishna, he starts living a life of truth, which is filled with auspiciousness, and he becomes very beautiful. Beauty is not measured by the shine of your skin or the beauty and twinkling in your eyes or the form that you display. A beauty is exhibited by the depth of your love for God and others and all creatures and the way you conduct yourself and behave yourself with all of reality, which belongs to someone else other than yourself. It belongs to Krishna or to God. So Ishvara, so we have words here. Ishvara means the supreme controller. That's the Aishwarya meaning of Ishvara. But the Madhurya meaning is one who is very tricky and clever. This isn't Sanskrit dictionary. Because I wanted to show you that we're chanting Krishna. You say Krishna, he's all attractive. But then you can say Kri means existence and Shna means blissful. So Krishna is the one who fills your existence with bliss. So you're chanting the holy name and you're feeling pretty miserable. And you're feeling pretty unhappy. But you think, oh, well, this name, Kri means existence. And Krishna fills my existence with bliss. Krishna, there's so much bliss in your holy name. And we hear Rupa Goswami is praying in Lalita Madhava. He's glorifying the holy name. Tunde, 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 something like this. He said, oh, this holy name is so sweet. I wish I had 1,000 tongues to relish the sweetness of the vibration of this holy name. And I wish I had 1,000 ears to hear that and relish and scoop the sweet relish of this holy name. Like the cows in Krishna's land of Vrindavan, when he plays the Vamshi or Venu to call them back from the pastures, then their ears, they raise their ears like upturning vessels. And they through the raised ears, the vessels of the raised ears, they drink deeply the sweet nectar flowing from Krishna's Venu nod and Vamshi nod. Oh, hey, Yamuna, because the cows have names like Yamuna, Gange, Saraswati, and Shoni and Shabali and Shame, Shame. Black cows are called Shame or Yamune, Kalindi. They have so many names. So the cows, they put their ears, like, you know, Indian cows, they're very special. They have unidirectional ears, like some microphones, you know, unidirectional. So you ever see? Unidirectional. And they have they're unilateral also. This ear can go this way, and this ear can go that way. If one boy is playing a flute over there, ear goes that way. And if Krishna's playing the flute behind him, ear goes that way. any which, or they go this way, that way, any which way. It's really unique. And why is it so? In America and other parts, the cow's ears, they just stand there. They don't do anything. They just sit there. They're like glued on their heads. They just hang there. Because Krishna is playing the flute, and Krishna can play the flute from any place, any direction. So they have to be able to catch the tune. Catch the tunes. You know, like your telephone. If you point it one way, you get the connection to the cell tower. You know? And you go, you get three bars, and you go that way, you get two bars. So the ears are like cell phones, antennas. So they have to catch the waves, the vibrations of Krishna's flute. So this is the meaning of Ishvara. The Madhurya meaning is Krishna is very tricky and clever, the one who fulfills all desires. Just like if you're in South India and you're a Vaishnava, you're in Sri Sampradaya or in Madhva Sampradaya, and you're putting on the tilak marks. Om Narayan Namaha, Om Madhavaya, Om Govindaya, Vishnu, Mamane, Damanaya, Padmaya, Sri Ramavishnaya. And you're putting on, and you're just thinking, oh, this is Vishnu, he has his forearm, because each of those names is the name of Krishna. He has his forearm, his conch shell in his lower right hand, and this one has his conch shell in upper left hand. And the four symbols of Vishnu are placed in four different places in the 24 forms of Vishnu. And we invoke 12 of them on our body, or 13, whatever it is, and 12, 13. And then we do that. But then Gaudiya Vaishnava, he's also chanting the names of Vishnu. This is all, it's called Vishnu Tilak. We are Vaishnavas, your worshippers of Vishnu. But everything, it means something different. Om Rishikeshaya, Om Sridharaya, Om Rishikeshaya. Sridharaya. So Sridhar is a form of Vishnu. Sridhar. Govinda is a form of Vishnu. Damodar is a form of Vishnu. But when we put Tilak on our back and we say, oh, Damodaraya, then we think of Nivi Damodar. Nivi, N-I-V-I, Nivi Damodar. We don't think of Vishnu Damodar with Chaturbhuj for arms. We say, oh, Damodaraya Nama, or Sri Damodar, whatever you want to say. Om Damodaraya Nama. Who's this Damodar? Well, we're Gaudiya, so we worship Radharani and Krishna. We know we honor Yashoda, but we are followers of Madhurya Bhav. Madhurya Bhav, Gopi Bhav, Radhadasyam. So we put on tilak and we think of Nivi Damodar. What is Nivi? Nivi means the rope, the string which holds up the undergarments of Radharani. So Krishna comes late to the kunja. This is in Brahma Vaivart Puran. It's in one of our books also. And Krishna is late to meet Radharani and the kunja Milan. Kunja Milan means meeting in the kunj. I'm very late. And Radharani is very angry. So when Krishna comes, and all the gopis surround him, Lalita Vishaka, and they start pointing their finger. Lalita's pointing, where were you? Why are you late? Look at our Swamini. She's devastated. Her clothes are in disarray. Her pillow is all wet with her tears. You cause her so much suffering. You dirt and you blood this, that. And you kapat, you cheat her, you dirt. Many, many nice words they used. On Krishna. In Hindi it's called Gali. Gali means dirty words. And in Radhakrishna Ganadesh Deepika, there's one category of gopis, elderly gopis, because as you get older, you get better at this. You know, when you're young, you're not so good at this heavy talk. But when you get old, like wives, oh, watch out. But if you meet a girl when she's 13, she can speak a few heavy words. When you meet her when she's 33, oh, it's very dangerous. It's like World War III. You have to be careful. So it says there's a group of elderly sakis. It's right there in Sanskrit. There's a group of elderly sakis, and their speciality is speaking dirty words. Their eternal service to Krishna is speaking dirty words. And Krishna loves it. He loves the dirty words and the curse words of the gopis of Vrindavan, of Brajabhumi, much more than he loves to hear the Rig Veda and the Shrutis chanting their stutis. It's called Shuti Stuti. It's called Purusha Shukta. Oh, how hu yahu hu ahu. And all these things. They chant and these long, long mantras. And they're very nice and elaborate technical chandas and so many things. They're in the Rig Veda. Rig Veda is full of these. Samaveda, Rig Veda are full of mantras for worshipping and waking Vishnu. If you go to Vaikuntha, Vishnu wakes up with the Shutis chanting so many verses glorifying Vishnu. So Krishna, when he hears Krishna hears those type of verses, he falls asleep. He's just like, oh, what is this? He sleeps. Because what happens? In the afternoon, in Aparan Leela, between 3:36 in the afternoon, right now when we're bringing our cows home, 3:36 is 6 o'clock. Well, it's called Uttara Goshta, Uttara Rathyatra, returning Jagannath into his palace at Sri Mandir, coming from Gondicha. So Krishna's bringing all the cows back from the pastures. So all the devatas come, Indra and Agni and Brahma and Chandra, everyone comes down to Braj Bhumi, and they glorify Krishna, and they chant all these verses from Samaveda and Rigveda. And Krishna's sitting there, oh my God, what's he saying? What are they saying? And then Subhava and Krishna are looking at each other, and they don't understand. And then they leave, and then they start to approach the village of Barsana, because before Krishna can go home to Nandagram, he has to go through Barsana. And in Barsana, there's many young Brajabadu. Brajabadu means the newly married, sweet and tender, cute and pretty brides of Vrindavan. And Krishna has the phone number of each one of them. He calls them every day for the rest of the dance. But before he can see them, they're standing on the rooftops of their palaces, fluttering their beautiful eyelashes and casting their seductive glances towards Krishna from the roofs of their palaces. And Kavi Karnapura says, when the gopis are glancing upon Krishna from the roofs of their palaces, it looks like a great king returning from a victorious battle. And everyone in the city showers the king with heaps and heaps of flower petals from the rooftops of the palaces and houses as he enters into the kingdom, being the returning victorious king coming back to his home palace. So similarly, when the gopis see the hero of their heart, their Brajanagar, Krishna is their Brajanagar. Nagar means their romantic hero and lover. When Krishna returns from the pasturing grounds of the cows, they're cows of their senses, because the word go means senses, and it means Govinda, and it means cows and senses and Govinda and gopis. So the Rasikacharyas, they make a comparison here between Krishna bringing the cows back and to home, and when the cows return, then they're very happy to meet with their calves. They become very excited. So when Krishna returns to passes through Barsana, then the senses, the indriya or the senses of all the gopis become very enlivened. And the cows, it says in Sanskrit, the cows of their senses become nourished again by seeing Krishna. Their vatsa, their vatsapal, their gopal, their Krishna. Very beautiful analogies. So as a king gets showered with flowers, all it appears, Kavi Karnapura says, it appears when Krishna passes through Barsana or Yavat with all his cows, and all the beautiful coward damsels of Braj are showering their beautiful lotus flower eyes, glances upon him. It seems like Krishna's being inundated by a shower of blue lotus petals. Because the eyes of the gopis are all the color of blue lotuses. They all have beautiful blue lotus eyes. And they're all fluttering their eyelashes and looking at Krishna with this beautiful, romantic and seductive, happy, pleased and satisfied, loving glances. And Krishna's looking at them and becoming intoxicated by their love. And that intoxication of his heart from seeing their glances causes the corner of Krishna's eyes to become a ruddy red in color. Usually our eyes are white around the colored iris and the black pupil. But Krishna's eyes are very dark blue, almost black and in color. And the eyes should be white, but the edges are red because he's receiving the arrow-like sidelong glances of the gopis. And the gopis' sidelong glances, Radha Kripa Kataksha, Gopi Kripa Kataksha, Prima Kataksha, the prema-filled sidelong glances of the gopis are falling onto Krishna's beautiful lotus eyes, and the glances of the gopis are full of anurag. Anurag means the intense, ever-expanding and ever-fresh, newer, moment by moment, loving expression and attachment and thrilling satisfaction of the hearts of the gopis which they're feeling for Krishna, which is newer and newer at every moment, it comes showering out of their eyes with their sidelong glances in a flower petal shower on Krishna. So this anurag from their hearts is so... when it hits Krishna, corners of Krishna's eyes, that's what makes the corner of Krishna's eyes red in color. Krishna's eyes, the corner of Krishna's eyes is reddish instead of white like anyone else's normal person, because it's become tinged with a beautiful, intense anuraga from the gopis' hearts passing out through their eyes when they're showering him with the blue lotus flower glances of their love. So this is the meaning of Govinda. One who takes another's senses to enjoy them for himself, or he who pleases one's senses. Then the word Anya Radito, the verse starts with Anya Radito Nunam. Anya Radito means worship perfectly. This is important for us. I mentioned all this. Gaudiya Vaishnava, because the only verse in the 18,000 verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam that reveals the identity of Radharani, Krishna's dearest and supreme consort. So this is the only verse that reveals Radharani, Krishna's dearest and supreme consort. In verse 28, it proves that the coward maidens know that Radharani has Krishna under her control. Anya Radito. So it says, Bhagavan Hari Ishvara. Bhagavan Hari Ishvara. Because Anya Radita Nunam. So Anya means, Radito means worship, and Radito means to control. And Anya means no one else is controlling him. Anya, like we say, Anyata. Or we say Harinam, Harinam, Eva Anyata. Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo, Nisteva, 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 Gatir, Anyata. So Anya means no other way, no other gopi. So Anya means no other gopi, no other worshiper, no other controller. But Nunam means certainly, indeed. This Radharani, who is she controlling? She's controlling Bhagavan Hari Ishvara. Ishvara Panama Krishna Sachira Nanda Vigra Anadi Radhir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. So Paramishvara is under Radharani's control. Abala, Abala Radharani, Abala. Bala means strong and Abala means weak. She's weak in form and strong in love. A woman's form may be weak, but her strength is her love. Her dedication, her faith, her loyalty, and her chastity, so many things make the woman very strong. What to speak of her tapasya. In the Mahabharata, Gandhari. Gandhari was a chaste and loyal, faithful wife of Dhritarashtra. And Dhritarashtra was blind, so the wife should not be more than the husband. So she took a vow of wearing a blindfold, so she would also be blind. And by performing that austerity and submission to her husband and loyalty to her guru pati, then she got guru kripa. Guru kripa means Bhagavan kripa. Bhagavan kripa means all the power and blessings and mercy of Krishna, Bhagavan. Sarvashakti mahi Bhagavan. He has all power with him. So Gandhari got all this power by living a life of voluntary andabrat, blindness. So one day, before the Kurukshetra battle, she called her son, Duryodhan, to her room. She said, please come see me, but come into my room naked, because I want to bless you. He's a full-grown hero, Kshatriya, full-grown man. But he thought, okay, she's my mother, and she's my original Adi Guru, mother and father Adi Guru. I cannot deny. But somehow Krishna was a guest at the palace of Dhritarashtra at that time. And he was walking down the hall by chance, just by chance. And there's 10,000 halls and 5,000 rooms in the palace. But he happened to be walking down that particular hall at that particular time and that particular place. And he saw Duryodhan, Nagna Yodhan. Because Dur means bad and Yodhan means fighter. Duryodhan means one who fights dirty. Bad fighter, dirty fighters. Now he's Nagna Yodhan. Nagna means naked. He's a naked fighter, the naked warrior. Anyways, Duryodhan. So he didn't have any clothes. So Krishna said, what are you doing? So my mother's requesting me to go like this. Oh, no, you can't go like that. You should cover your private parts with a gumcha. So he wears some langoti or something on his, covering his thighs and his private parts. And he met his mother. And then she said, oh, is that you, Duryodhana? She said, yes, mother, it's me, your son, Duryodhana. Are you? Do you have any clothes? No, I don't have any clothes. So then she removed the blindfold. And because she had been of so many austerity, she had performed that great austerity of being blind for so many years, she had a lot of tapabalam, means stored power, tapa, power, austerity, strength. So when she took a sankalp, a vow, an affirmation. She said, oh, Bhagavan, whatever power I have, whatever strength I've attained by this tapasya of being blind for so many 12 years or 24 years or whatever, I vow that all my power goes to my son, Duryodhana, and he becomes strong as iron. His body becomes like steel. So that vow was observed, and his body became like steel. But because his thighs were covered with a gumcha, then it didn't apply there. So in the battle of Kurukshetra, although it was dirty fighting, because he was a dirty fighter, so people fought with him dirty too. yeah, I know. So then Bhima took his club and hit below the belt, which is not according to the rules. But Duryodhana himself was famous for breaking all the rules of Kshatriya Dharma. He broke all the rules of Kshatriya Dharma, and that's why he was called Duryodhana. Yodhana means fighting, and he was bad. Dura means bad, you know, dirty fighter, bad fighter. So then, tit for tat. So he got killed in the wrong way by hitting below the belt, which means the thighs, and he got everything he did to others came back, and he died. So this story is the power of chastity. So this is Radharani is the most chaste of all the coward maidens, and she is the greatest worshiper of Krishna. So this verse proves that, and Shukamuni cleverly reveals, in this word Anuradhito, and also he reveals and conceals the name and identity of Radharani in this verse. One meaning means one who worships Krishna perfectly. And the letters R-A-D-H are in the middle of this word, which indicate Radha's name. And then we'll speak a little bit more on verse 28 tomorrow because it's so significant. Anuradhito, Anuradhito Nunam, Bhagavan Harishara. So we'll continue tomorrow, verse 28 and start 29. Now we have Harinam Sankirtan. Shri Bhagavatam Mahapurana Ki Jai.